If you're anything like me and you live in the metro Nashville area, the Middle Tennessee area, you're probably sick and tired of the snow and the cold weather and the ice. For those of you who don't know, I went to college up in Chicago, and I got my fair share of the negative temps, the blizzards, the lake effect. Yes, the lake effect is a very real thing. I got my fair share of that. Now that I'm back in the South and I'm settled here in Nashville, I'm ready for the warm weather. I'm a Southern boy at heart. I have grown up in the Nashville area, and I love the warm weather. The forecast says next weekend that we could be getting some higher temperatures, thank goodness. And you know what the warmer weather brings along? This is a show that is not dedicated to talking about the weather. We're dedicated to talking about one thing, and that is college football. Welcome into the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Just a friendly reminder, if you haven't already, please subscribe to The Game Nashville wherever you get your podcasts, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. There are a million different platforms out there. But make sure to subscribe to The Game Nashville. That's where you'll get all episodes of The Air Raid. We're already 8 episodes deep into this thing, and some of my other coworkers here at the station are also starting some podcasts that you should definitely check out. The Game Nashville, it is up and coming, let me tell you. It is up and coming. Tons of podcasts that are being dropped there on a semi-weekly basis, and more podcasts that haven't quite started yet but are in the works. I hope I didn't spoil anything right there, but they're coming. And also, please follow me on the socials. I'm on Twitter, X, whatever you call it. I'm also at Instagram, at Parker_Kelly10. Would definitely appreciate the follow. All right. Last show, we talked about the momentum that the SEC and the Big Ten are creating towards playoff expansion, whether that be 14 teams or 16 teams. Regardless, what you need to know is expansion is coming. The SEC and the Big Ten are controlling what the format will look like in 2026, and that is after the original contract the college football playoff has with ESPN, after the original contract expires. But remember, ESPN and the college football playoff signed a new agreement, an extension that'll begin in 2026, and it'll extend until 2031. So again, after this current season, 2025, the SEC and the Big Ten have complete control over what the college football playoff format will look like moving forwards. But if you really thought that Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, and Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, would stop there, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong, because news came out a couple days ago that the SEC and the Big Ten are pushing for seeding changes as early as this coming season. Their main focus is the seeding, which has been a very controversial topic in the college football community. Many of you who listen to the show, many of you I've had conversations with, have advocated for straight seeding throughout the playoff, which is understandable considering how jacked up the whole auto bid, top five conference champion, how complicated that made things. Straight seeding, in theory, makes a ton of sense. The SEC and the Big Ten are proposing this idea of straight seeding, just going 1 through 12, the top four of the rankings would earn the first round bye of the 2025 playoff. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's your top four conference champs. It could be, in this case, for example, this past year, before the playoff even was played, Number one, Oregon. Number two, Georgia. Number three, Texas. And number four, Penn State. If we were to incorporate this philosophy that the SEC and Big Ten are advocating for in 2025, if we were to incorporate that in 2024, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State, your top four seeds, would all have the first round bye. And that would therefore eliminate the first round bye for the four highest ranked conference champions. Oregon and Georgia both had that advantage this year. Boise State and Arizona State also had the benefit of the doubt of getting the bye. But in this new proposed idea, they wouldn't have that. So it would just be the top four highest ranked teams, and that would do away with the first round buys for the four highest ranked conference champions. Again, this sounds like a good idea in theory, right? Most of you want that right now. The only problem with this proposed change is it would require a unanimity from the 10 FBS leagues and Notre Dame, since, again, it's the last year of the original television contract with ESPN, all leagues in Notre Dame have to agree upon this proposed change that the SEC and Big Ten are promoting, for it to pass. Now, we've already talked about the discrepancy of the SEC and the Big Ten versus the Big 12 and the ACC. They're not equal. The SEC and the Big Ten are over here. The ACC and the Big 12, they're over here. I hate the term Power Four because it implies that there is equal value among all conferences. Now, while I do love all four major conferences, and I love the teams that are in the conferences, they're not equal. The SEC and the Big Ten are in a different playing field. I'm not saying that to take a shot at the Big 12 or the ACC. I love those two conferences. It's just the reality of the situation. The Big 12 and the ACC benefited greatly from the fact that Clemson and SMU got in the playoff for the ACC, while SMU didn't necessarily receive any bonuses for those of you who don't know, SMU, when they entered into the ACC at the beginning of last season, usually they get a small percentage of that, of the ACC revenue. SMU doesn't get that because they just wanted, since they moved from the American Athletic Conference to the ACC, they just wanted to be a part of a Power Four conference. So they're not getting a percentage of that revenue, even though they're in the conference. But the ACC overall benefits from getting Clemson and getting SMU in the 12-team playoff field. The Big 12 benefits because Arizona State got in and got the first round bye. The Big 12 and the ACC are already a couple steps behind the SEC and the Big 10. Why would they agree to forfeit one of their teams getting a first round bye in this new proposed system that the Big 10 and the SEC are bringing forth? The short answer is they wouldn't, because they're already at a disadvantage, and agreeing to this puts them at even more of a disadvantage, because the SEC and the Big Ten have better teams. And again, that's not anything groundbreaking, but the ACC and the Big 12, yeah, they may have a team get in, but they're going to be ranked so far behind the pack. It puts them at a disadvantage. They're not going to agree to something like that. the CFP Management Committee, which consists of the 10 FBS conference commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director, they're set to meet next week in Dallas to discuss these potential playoff changes in 2025, and they're also going to discuss the idea of expansion that would potentially take place in 2026. Now, Greg Sankey did say that that would be a small part of the conversation, that the main part would be the 2025 fixing the seating, but they're going to talk about both. And if you remember, they met in New Orleans, the SEC and the Big Ten met in New Orleans last week to talk about 2026. There is a lot happening out there on the college football horizon, and a lot of it is centered around the postseason. So this is why you're going to want to stay informed on this podcast, because we're touching on it all. Now, I did want to give you just a visualization of what straight seeding would have looked like if it was incorporated in the 2024 college football playoff bracket. So the same rule still applies, that the SEC champ gets in, the Big Ten champ gets in, the ACC champ gets in, the Big 12 champ gets in, and the highest ranked Group of Five champ would get in, which in this case would be Boise State. So here's what the rankings would look like. Oregon at 1, Georgia at 2, Texas at 3, Penn State at 4, Notre Dame at 5, Ohio State at 6, Tennessee at 7, Indiana at 8, Boise State at 9, SMU at 10, Alabama was at number 11, Arizona State was at 12, and Clemson was at 16. So Alabama's still going to get booted out because the ACC champ would have to get in this case it would be Clemson. So Arizona State would move up to 11, and Clemson would slide into that 12th spot. So you have your top 12 seeds right there. In this case, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, and Penn State all earned first-round byes. So your first-round matchups would be Boise State, who in this case is the 9 seed, would travel to number 8, Indiana. I can just imagine Bloomington hosting a playoff game. Probably be electric, considering most people don't look at them as a football school. I mean, they are the losingest football program in the history of FBS college football. Most people consider them a basketball school, but the fact that Indiana earns a home playoff game, or in this case would have, since this is a hypothetical, Bloomington would be on fire. And I would personally love to see this matchup. So Boise State travel to Bloomington to play Indiana. The winner would get number 1 Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Number 10 SMU would travel to Knoxville to take on the Vols, and number 7 Tennessee. Also, Knoxville, one of the greatest fan bases in the sport. Knoxville would practically burn to the ground if they were able to host a playoff game. It would be absolutely electric. SMU would travel to take on Tennessee. The winner would get Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Arizona State would travel to Columbus to play Ohio State, the winner gets Texas in the Fiesta Bowl, and Clemson, in this case would be the 12 seed, travel to number 5, Notre Dame, to play number 4, Penn State. The winner would play number 4, Penn State, in the Fiesta Bowl. So that's how the playoff bracket would look if we just straight seeded the thing. Again, lots of changes are coming with the college football playoff, and it's all going to be discussed right here on the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. We've talked a lot about the college football playoff. I've mentioned on previous shows that something would become a trend in college football. And certainly enough, little by little, teams are starting to cancel their spring games. I said this on a previous show that after Nebraska announced that they were going to cancel their spring game, that this was going to become a trend. Now, the reason Nebraska canceled their spring game is because they're worried about tampering. Because after spring football ends, there is a spring transfer portal window that opens up that would allow players to enter the portal after spring practice. Other coaches could watch players in their spring game, and when that portal opens up, go after the players. Matt Rhule referred to this as tampering, which it is. It is very much tampering. And as a college football traditionalist, I don't like the idea of canceling spring games, but I understand you can't put the genie back in the bottle. This is the new age of college football. Tampering is a very real thing. The NIL, the transfer portal, it's all baked into the sport. And this is just the world that we have to live in. So I can't fault Matt Rhule for this. But other schools, right now, most notably in the Big Ten, are starting to cancel their spring games. USC announced that they were going to cancel their spring game. Now, they didn't exactly say why, but several are assuming the reason. Ohio State has also joined in, and they're canceling their spring game. But Ryan Day announced that they would be having a spring showcase. Details haven't been disclosed on that quite yet. And out of the SEC, Texas, I think they're going to do a similar thing to Ohio State. It's not 100% confirmed yet, but they're also canceling their spring game. I think they might do kind of the same thing, spring showcase. Now, Ohio State and Texas both outlined why, and their reasons are a little bit different from Matt Rhule's and might be a little bit different from why USC is canceling their spring game. But basically, Ohio State and Texas, Ohio State just came off a national championship run in which they played four extra games after the regular season had ended. Texas also played four extra games. They played in the SEC championship. They played in the first round of the college football playoff, the quarterfinals, and the semifinals. What I want you to take away from this is attrition is a real thing in college football. Texas, if you think about what all their postseason has entailed the last two seasons, they've made the college football playoff semifinals in back-to-back years. They went on a four-game stretch after their regular season ended, which included the likes of playing Georgia and Ohio State. Ohio State played in a bowl game at the end of last year, played all the way up until the national championship game this year. Ohio State played four extra games, which is the equivalent of one-third of a regular season of college football. That's a lot of wear and tear on the body. Ryan Day, very smart head coach. Steve Sarkisian, also very smart head coach. They're just trying to preserve the health of their players. And also, I bet a little bit of, you know, Matt Rhule's thinking has factored into this as well. They want to preserve the health of their players. And they don't want other teams to scout their players. I think it's, again, I love watching spring games. I grew up watching them on TV. I'm not a fan of spring games getting canceled, but this is just the new era of college football. And Ryan Day, Steve Sarkisian, Matt Rhule, they're all exercising foresight and they're looking, you know, down the line. And I think this is overall what is best for their team moving forward. I'm actually pretty excited about this segment because I know it was really popular during college basketball circles last season, and this was talked about, and it's even been talked about quite regularly now. What is my opinion on field/court storming? Now, the reason I'm talking about this in this show is I was watching a college basketball game the other night. Missouri hosted Alabama. It was a big-time matchup in the SEC. Missouri was on their way to handedly beating Alabama, which is a big-time win for the Tigers. And with about a little over a second left, Missouri's head coach, Dennis Gates, gets on the microphone and announces to fans to not storm the court. Later in the press conference after the game, Coach Gates mentioned that, you know, he was asked why he got up on the mic and said that. And he said that the money that Missouri would be using to pay that fine, because you get fined if you storm the court, the money that Missouri would be using to pay that fine, they could use for NIL. Coach Dennis Gates said that they would need the money for NIL. If you would have asked me my opinion on court storming or field storming about a year ago, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I think it is, I've been a part of a field storming before. I think it is a way that the fans express themselves. I think it's awesome. Now, it can get a bit excessive at times because the field storming that I was at this year, Tennessee and Alabama, after Tennessee beat Alabama in Knoxville 24-17, the fans stormed the field and they took down the goalpost again. Now, that was really cool in 2022, and you know that's going to go down in Tennessee lore, and we're going to talk about that for decades upon decades. But I feel like that in that moment, it was a bit excessive because you're just trying to recreate a memory from 2022. But what makes 2022 special is that was the first time Tennessee had beaten Alabama in a long time. And you typically court storm or field storm after you win a game that you were a heavy underdog in. And it has gotten a bit excessive over the past couple years, I will say that. But now, since the NCAA versus House court case has been addressed, and for those of you who are unaware, basically now schools are allowed to directly pay their players, and there is going to be a salary cap involved. I believe it's set at 20 and a half. I'm not exactly sure. 20 and a half million, I should say. I'm not exactly sure. But basically, the school is going to have a salary cap, and they divide that among their athletes, and they pay their athletes directly. And that, again, that's a result of the NCAA versus House court case. If you can't tell, I'm developed a little bit of a sneeze, so I have a little bit of congestion. We're pushing through, though, because, again, who doesn't want to talk about college football? Who doesn't want to listen to college football? But, again, if you would have asked me my opinion on this a year ago, I would have had no problem with it. Now, I understand, because schools do need the money to pay athletes directly if this is going to be a thing. And schools have tons of money. Conferences have tons of money. But every dollar is going to count in this new age that we're embarking into. So that is why my opinion of court storming has changed given the introduction of new information. So that is my opinion on that. I did a segment, I can't remember how many episodes ago it was. It might have been 3 or 4 episodes ago, where I gave a list of college football sleepers. My college football sleepers. heading into the 2025 season. I wanted to add one more team to the list. I feel like I got all the teams that I wanted to share out there, but I left out one. And I was thinking about this team the other day, and I'm like, why did I not mention them, or why didn't they come to my mind? But that team is Georgia Tech. And I really am high on Georgia Tech and that program and Brent Key. Now, Brent Key, his overall record at Georgia Tech is 18-16. He went 4-4 in 2022 as the interim head coach, because that was the season Jeff Collins got fired. So Brent Key fills in as interim. Georgia Tech goes 4-4. Now, the past two seasons, they've been 7-6 with a 4-4 record in ACC play. So almost identical seasons. So you may be asking, Parker, why are you so high on Georgia Tech? Well, here's why. They returned their quarterback in Haynes King. Now, Haynes King is a phenomenal athlete. He is not as great of a passer, but he is pretty solid in the passing game, but he is a great runner. And he was one of the main sources of Georgia Tech's running attack. He had 2,100 yards through the air last season, 14 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Haynes King may not throw the ball as much as some other quarterbacks do, but one thing is for certain is he does not turn the ball over. He had 587 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns last year. I'm very high on Haynes King. I think he's a really good player for Georgia Tech. Now, they also lost their leading receiver in Eric Singleton. They lost him in the transfer portal. He has committed to Auburn. But here's the good news for Georgia Tech. They backfill with a trio of receivers from the portal, the most notable being Eric Rivers from Florida International, FIU. He was a 4-star portal guy. He had 1,172 yards last year and 12 touchdowns. He was 11th in FBS in receiving yards. It was a great addition by Brent Key and Co. after they lost Eric Singleton to go out and get Eric Rivers. With Eric Rivers, they also brought in his former teammate from FIU in Dean Patterson, who was a 3-star portal guy. They also bring in DeBron Gatling from South Carolina, another 3-star portal guy. Now, Dean Patterson and DeBron Gatling may not be as notable as Eric Rivers is, but it just adds to the depth in the wide receiver room. Now, just taking a look at Georgia Tech's record, if Brent Key and Georgia Tech, if they go 7-6 again this year, fans in Atlanta probably won't be very happy. So they definitely need to take a step forward this year. They start off their season at Colorado. That game will be played on August 30th. Then they have Gardner-Webb, Clemson at home, Temple at home. They're at Wake Forest, at home versus Virginia Tech, at Duke, at home versus Syracuse. Then they'll travel to NC State, travel to Boston College. They're at home versus Pitt, and they get Georgia to cap off the season. They get the Bulldogs at home. Now, the good news is they miss Miami, and they miss SMU. They do have Clemson will be, in my opinion, pretty solid this year, again, like they were last year. Now, we all know that Clemson is probably a better way of putting it. Clemson is not, or has not been, the Clemson teams that we have seen in the past. But Clemson is still a very, very solid program. I still love Dabo Swinney. I have made my opinion about Dabo Swinney very well known. I don't think I've said it a lot on this show, but I'll go ahead and state it for the record. If Dabo Swinney went 0-12 at Clemson this year, I still think Dabo Swinney is one of the greatest coaches in current college football. given the fact that he has won two national championships and he is one of three active head coaches to win a national championship. If you remember where Clemson was before Dabo Swinney, they weren't in the national spotlight the way they were post when Dabo Swinney had gotten to Clemson. They would be just fine going 10-3, making a bowl game, having a double-digit win season would be groundbreaking for Clemson. But after Dabo Swinney had gotten there, they got used to being in the national title conversation. So I am still very high on Dabo Swinney. But going back to Georgia Tech, I think Syracuse could be, again, I mentioned them as a potential sleeper team. I really like Fran Brown and what he was able to do in year one. Georgia obviously is going to be a difficult game, but the good news is they get Georgia at home. And this past season, they made things pretty interesting with Georgia, taking that thing to 8 overtime. So it's a pretty workable schedule, given that they do play in a weaker ACC. But Georgia Tech is definitely one of my sleepers for next season. Moving right along. So it was announced today that Nebraska and Tennessee, they were scheduled to have a home-and-home series in 2026 and 2027, but it was announced today that Nebraska has canceled the home-and-home series with the Volunteers because of financial concerns. Now, Tennessee, I thought this was really cool, but Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White posted on X that Nebraska called off the series, and he just wanted to clarify that Nebraska was the one that canceled the series and not the University of Tennessee. And he stated that the Vols are very disappointed by the cancellation, especially since it was so close to the initial game in 2026. Teams had been set to play at Nebraska in 2026 and at Tennessee the following year. And what's really important to note here is the teams had agreed to this home-and-home all the way back in 2006, and now Nebraska has canceled and kind of puts Tennessee in a bit of a pickle here because it's only one season away, but it's very short notice, and now Tennessee has to go and find another opponent for 2026 and 2027. But going back to the reasoning for Nebraska canceling or opting out of this home and home, they're having some major renovations done to Memorial Stadium, which is where the Cornhuskers play, and that's going to impact their seating capacity just a little bit in the 2027 season. So in order for them to not be financially impacted by this, they wanted to have 8 home games in 2027 to offset any potential revenue loss from the reduced capacity. Make of that what you will, but that was pretty big news today, and just wanted to share that on the show. I think this was an interesting proposal from Danny White, but he mentioned on VolQuest, which is a podcast for Tennessee, he mentioned that the buyout implications need to be much steeper because as of right now, Nebraska has to pay $1 million, which is basically pocket change for them. It's $500,000 for each game that was canceled. So since 2 were canceled, that equates to $1 million. But Danny White mentioned that these implications for buyout needs to be much steeper to prevent teams from canceling home-and-home series like this a season in advance. It was very short notice, so I actually agree with Danny White's thinking here. I think that would be very reasonable. One more thing I wanted to get to on the show here is it was announced, I believe, earlier in the week that Luke Fickell in Wisconsin agreed to a 1-year extension with the Badgers. So Luke Fickell originally agreed to a 7-year deal back in 2022 that would pay him $7.8 million annually. And he has been given a 1-year extension after each season as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Fickell has a 13-13 overall record at Wisconsin. That tenure kicked off with the bowl game win over Oklahoma State back in 2022. He followed that up with a 7-6 season in 2023. And then this season, things took a dip and they went 5-7. And they missed a bowl game for the first time since 2001. That snapped 22 straight bowl game appearances for the Badgers. Now, if you ask anybody in Madison, any Wisconsin fans, they would largely equate their struggles to inconsistencies at the quarterback position. In 2023, they had Tanner Mordecai, who was a transfer from SMU, and they also played Braden Locke, who was their backup quarterback at the time. Just, again, large inconsistencies at the quarterback position. This past year, they brought in a transfer from Miami and Tyler Van Dyke, who I remember Tyler Van Dyke 3 years ago being mentioned in NFL draft conversations as maybe being a first-round draft pick, but those conversations are long gone. But last year, Tyler Van Dyke, he went down with an injury during the Alabama game, so they had to turn to Braden Locke once again. This season, this upcoming season, Wisconsin brings in a transfer quarterback from Maryland in Billy Edwards Jr. That is a name that you should familiarize yourself with, because Billy Edwards was pretty impressive with the Terrapins. And I watched a couple of his games. I remember watching his game against Oregon and just really keeping an eye on him throughout the season last year. I was pretty impressed with the intangibles and kind of his arm ability. So that's definitely a name that you should be on the lookout for there. I just wanted to take a quick look at Wisconsin's upcoming schedule. Now, since they are playing in an expanded Big Ten conference, it is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. They are at home versus Miami, Ohio, in week one. Then they're at home again versus MTSU the following week. In week three, they're at Alabama. That'll be a very tough road environment. Then they're at home versus Maryland. They're on the road at Michigan, at home versus Iowa, at home versus Ohio State. They're on the road at Oregon, so they're traveling two time zones away to play the Ducks. Then they're at home versus Washington, on the road at Indiana, at home versus Illinois. And then to cap off the season, they're at Minnesota. Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, depending on how good they are this year, and Illinois, not easy games for the Badgers. This is going to be a big year for Luke Fickell in Wisconsin. It has to be. Now, since he signed a second one-year extension, Luke Fickell is officially locked into that seven-year contract. So he's good through 2030. But Luke Fickell, I believe, finally has that missing component at quarterback in Billy Edwards. I'm very high on Billy Edwards. So we just got to see what Wisconsin can do. Luke Fickell had a lot of success at Cincinnati, and now the expectations are going to be high at Wisconsin. Again, they made 22 straight bowl games dating back to 2001. The expectations are high in Madison. So, got to see what Luke Fickell can do this season with Billy Edwards. Appreciate you listening to the show. We're going to keep this thing rolling all throughout the offseason. And don't worry, there's no shortage of college football content to talk about. We're going to have some guests upcoming on the show in the future. I'm currently working on getting a very notable guest on the show here in the next couple of weeks. Got some exciting things down the track here on the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. And again, always appreciate you listening in. And please make sure to subscribe to The Game Nashville wherever you get your podcasts. And that's where you'll find all the episodes of the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. But always look forward to talking college football, because after all, it's so much better when it's shared with a friend. So make sure to share this podcast with your family, with your friends, whoever will listen, whoever is looking for more college football content, especially in what some might refer to as the off season. We don't believe in that term here on the show. Don't even know what it is. But make sure you're listening in for all your college football content, and we'll talk to you soon.